Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. What exactly is Epiphany all about? Well, Epiphany is the revelation. It's the revelation of God's love for all the nations, in addition to the Jews. It's the revelation that Jesus is fulfilling the words spoken by Simeon in the Nunc Dimittis as a light to the nations, the glory of the people Israel. Epiphany is the revelation that through Jesus, the words of Isaiah are fulfilled when he wrote, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Epiphany is the revelation that Jesus is the King who comes to serve and to save his people. Epiphany is the revelation that the promise spoken to Adam and Eve about a child being born to crush the head of the serpent has been fulfilled in this little baby. Epiphany is this aha moment when all the prophetic promises in the past are seen to have their fulfillment in Christ Jesus our Lord. Epiphany is about revelation. It's about the grace of God revealing how much he loves all of his creation. If Epiphany is about God's revelation, specifically revelation of Christ Jesus our Savior, then it says a thing or two about us. First, it speaks about our limited and finite knowledge and wisdom, especially when it comes to the things concerning God. Even the most brilliant minds in our age cannot perceive the things of God. Consider Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking, the physicist who died in 2019, believed that there was no God, that the universe does not require any sort of explanation. His final book, Brief Answers to the Big Questions, he wrote this: "There is no God. No one directs the universe." He also said that the laws of physics offer a more convincing explanation for the creation of the universe than the idea that God created it. As such, Hawking believed that there's no heaven, no afterlife, no resurrection from the dead. He said the simplest explanation is that there is no God and that we have this one life to appreciate the universe. That's kind of bleak and hopeless, isn't it? For all of his wisdom and his learning, his observations on the created order, his studies in math and physics and astronomy, he was blind to see God's great love and purpose for this creation. Looking at our text from Matthew's Gospel, we encounter a group of people who, like Hawking, had their eyes focused on the things of creation, but by the grace of God, arrived at some very different conclusions. Consider the Magi, or the wise men as we call them, who came from the East. They're the astrologers, most likely from Babylon or from Persia. They had the habit of looking to the sky for signs and omens from God or from the gods. Some scholars suggest that these Magi had contact with the Hebrew prophetic writings as the Israelites spent time in captivity in Babylon so many centuries ago. If you look through the book of Daniel, you'll see Magi present giving counsel to King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, whoever these particular Magi were, and whatever they might have known about the scriptures, it was insufficient for them to know who Jesus is, ultimately, or where to find him. That had to come by way of divine, external revelation. A star was utilized by the creator of the heavens and the earth to lead them to Jesus. The creator of all things, visible and invisible, directed their hearts and their minds to seek out what they could not know by their own reason or strength. So these men went in faith to seek out the newborn king. Now, as they did, they brought with them gifts, and you know those gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, of course, would have been a fitting gift to give a king. But what about the other two? Frankincense. Not Frankenstein, frankincense was an incense that was burned in the temples. It suggests that the Magi were bringing this gift as an acknowledgement that the newborn king is somehow divine. He is someone that you would burn incense to as you offered your prayers. And then there's myrrh. Myrrh was used in the anointing oils for kings and for priests. But it was also used in embalming the dead. So there's something prefiguring the death, the sacrificial death of this king. Three gifts fit for Jesus. But ultimately, beyond the understanding and comprehension of the Magi and what significance they have as they brought them to him. Why would I say that? Well, consider where the wise men first sought out Jesus. They went to Jerusalem, which was roughly 6 miles from where Jesus actually was in Bethlehem. And of course, they went to Jerusalem because that was the capital city for the Jews, the place of the temple, in the place of the great hall or palace of King Herod. And a king, one would suppose, is to be found in the capital city and born to the royal family. The earthly wisdom would say so. But look, their wisdom missed the mark. Instead, God has to lead them through the means of a star to the home of the Christ child in Bethlehem. And there, these Magi bow down to Jesus and present their gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. Herod, we read, wanted the Magi to return to him so that he could find them and treat this and eliminate this threat to his throne. Though Herod lied to the wise men, saying that he wanted to worship him as well. The wise men would have believed Herod if not warned by God to go home a different way and avoid going back to Herod. God's wisdom leads and guides. Here's the thing. If Epiphany is about God's revelation of Christ Jesus, our Savior, and about our own limits, mankind's limits, of wisdom are brought to light, well, then it also reveals something more. It reveals to us that we need a Savior, and the Savior who brings us gifts. God reveals His will. From the beginning of creation, He said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, "Do not eat, lest you die." Well, in their own wisdom, they ate and they died. But not before God revealed that wonderful promise to send a son to crush death under his feet. God revealed his will. He says, "Live in faith to me. Love your neighbor as yourself." God's people, Israel, broke faith with God, and they loved themselves over their neighbor. And in their wisdom, they died. But God always kept his promise to save through the one born of a woman. And Epiphany reveals that Jesus is this child, born to save us from our sin. You know the story. Outside the gates of Jerusalem, on that holy mountain, the holy mountain of the Lord, Jesus crushed death under his feet by sacrificing himself for us all. Through the means of his substitutionary sacrifice, His substitutionary death on the cross, he accomplished salvation for us all. Now, here's the thing. It's one thing to know history and to be wise to what happened in the past. But that alone doesn't save you. That would be kind of like knowing what medicine is, but not taking it when you're sick. It must come to you. It must be administered to you. It must be part of you. Faith is that which takes hold of these historical events and sees that they were done for you. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is a gift. Not a gift to God, but a gift from God to us. Epiphany reveals that salvation comes by faith alone in Christ Jesus alone, through the gifts of his word and his sacraments. Luther says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason, we might even say wisdom or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel. He enlightens me with his gifts. We might even say he reveals or epiphanies me with his gifts. He sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith. See, he opens our eyes to see and to believe that what Christ has done on the cross, he has done for you. That's faith. Listen to what St. Peter says about faith in Christ. He says, your faith is more precious than gold, though it perishes. Wise men brought Jesus gold that can perish, but Jesus comes to bring us the gift of faith, far more precious than gold. And even more, that in baptism, the Holy Spirit brings the death and the resurrection of Jesus to bear on you, ever changing your course in life, leading you to the fullness of the life that is still yet to come. Look, the wise men brought the gift of myrrh to Jesus for his anointing and for his burial. But in holy baptism, Jesus gives the gift of anointing you as his own. And he brings his death and life to bear on yours. So your lives are now living sacrifices as you live in faith to God and in love for your neighbor. And in the Lord's Supper, the very blood and body of our Lord Jesus is part of you. He gives the gift that strengthens you to live in faith and in love. He gives you the gift of himself. For indeed you live because Christ Jesus lives, not just bodily in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but in and through you. As Christ lives in you, and also bodily at the right hand of the Father, he intercedes for you. He prays for you, even as you pray to him. We echo the words of Psalm 141. O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We hear Jesus speaking in the words of Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The Magi brought the gift of frankincense to Jesus. Jesus gives us the gift and the assurance that he hears our prayers and that he, in fact, is interceding for us and he acts for our greatest good. All of this God reveals to us, not because we are wise on our own, but because he loves us and he seeks to give us his gifts. God reveals himself to you by the Holy Spirit in the inspired words of the Holy Scriptures. Here you come to know who he is and who you are. Here you come to see and to hear of his love for his creation, steeped in sin and death as it is, and powerless to change our sinful nature. In the scriptures, it is revealed that Christ Jesus is the one who personifies and infleshes God's love for you. Here you learn that he is your Savior, who is willing and able to give himself into death to forgive your sin. In the scriptures, you learn that Jesus suffered in your place, died your death, rose in victory of the grave. And in the scriptures, you learn that your baptism unites you to Christ, his death and his resurrection, so that you now live a forgiven life, a changed life, and one that looks forward in hope to your own resurrection from the dead. What wonderful gifts. In love, God has revealed this to you in his word. This is what makes us wise, not in the worldly sense or in the scientific sense, but wise to the salvation of our God. These are his gifts to you. This is his great epiphany for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.